Good morning. This is Down to Brass Talks. Today is the 13th of July, 2018. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Numbers to call, 434-1790 or 266-IVOB. Number of issues on the table today. I'm sure you're going to be calling us and sharing your perspectives. I'll just highlight four of them that are of interest. Conflict resolution in schools, that's something that is going to be enhanced or beefed up. I think that's a very positive happening in our secondary schools in particular. Then we have the BTMI and the BTPA to reunite, another interesting strategic move on the part of the new administration. And that's, using the term strategic doesn't mean that I agree or disagree, just saying that that is the strategy going forward, that there will be one board, as we heard from the acting Minister of Tourism yesterday. A big congrats to Jonathan Jones, who was in Finland. He was able to come first, only in the heat, but the 400 meters, he ran a pretty good leg, and that was all the way out there by lane 8. And then I'm sure many of you, impacting our well-needed productivity, are watching World Cup, but let's see what's going to happen in in the final. So a special welcome to all of you. My name is Lisa Gale. I'll be with you until 1 p.m. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
And if I may just be your first caller, Lisa, because there's some housekeeping matters that I needed to put on the table and let the listeners know. Good morning
sure,
to you.
You're on the air.
Good morning to them. Thanks. There is a seminar today on sick building syndrome. It's been hosted by the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers with a number of people taking part in it. And they were part of Brass Tacks Sunday 2 Sundays ago.
Yes.
And from 11 o'clock, when the medical challenges associated with sick building syndrome, Dr. Aline will be doing a presentation. So during the course of Dr. Brass Tacks at 11, we'll join them for just a bit to hear what the discussions are. And then, of course, we'll be streaming it live on our VOB website from 1 o'clock when the solutions and new projects and retrofitting and that type of information will be presented. So if our listeners have an interest in sick building syndrome, they can follow that from 1 live on our page. Facebook page? Right. Zania tells me Facebook page is correct, so that's where you can find it. The other quick housekeeping matter I'd like to just engage for a second on. Yesterday, the final caller to Down to Brass Tacks made mention of the site operated by Anderson Cherry out in Layers that he said was burning again and there was a toxic scent. I went out to the site and I toured the area 2 o'clock. And then I went to Mr. Cherry and asked to be allowed to go on the site. And I actually took pictures posted on our VOB webpage. And there was no burning, there was no smell, and there are no toxic fumes in the area. So I put that there just because he was the final caller and I didn't get a chance to have any rebuttal or update. So I went there myself at 2:15 or thereabouts yesterday afternoon, toured the area, then went to Mr. Cherry, asked for permission to actually get into the site, and he agreed. So I went in, and I checked around, and I took pictures on my own, and it's on the website. So it's all yours right after these messages.
Awesome. Welcome back. We had our first call, Mr. Dennis Johnson, who called Lisa Gale, the moderator, today to share with us a little bit about what's coming today from the Barbados Engineering Society. Barbados Association of Professional Engineers in particular. So this is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air, first caller. Second caller.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, second time speaking to you.
Yes.
Now, before I go into my main topic, there's something I want to say. I'm very, very serious about it. I don't know if it's a fact. I don't know if it's a rumor. But I've been hearing talk that 6,000 people are going to be sent home. But that is not my area of interest. My area of interest are that I came across a few Democratic Labour Party supporters who were rejoicing at that. Now, I'm going to say this to them and people who think like them. Anybody, and it could be my mother, who want a government to fail at any cost especially, is an idiot. Because when the government of the day fails, we, the people, fail, and we suffer. I don't want the government to fail. I want them to succeed. I am not a supporter of the Barbados Labour Party. I have voted for an individual who ran for them in the past, and if I do all over again, we'll do it. But I don't want the government to fail. So all the people who are thinking along that line are totally, totally ignorant, and they pity winning. They really, really pity winning. Now, transport authority. There are three minibuses that play I'm not going to give you numbers. The bypass road that should be going to the Crane. When they leave Paystown, they have oysters advertised. You're supposed to go the full length of the road, and they plan to catch them one these days and getting it. And when it reaches Oyston, I'm not getting out.
So when they get there and there's no other passenger in there, they cut short their trip and go back to Bridgetown?
No. Where the other passengers are not, they have advertised from Spikestown, Oysters. They're supposed to advertise to the Crane. Whatever you see written on the side of that minibus
is the farthest stop.
Is on the permit. And they think that Barbados Transport Authority need to look into it.
And I thought you said that it doesn't serve its purpose. So you mean the revised transport authority?
Well, whoever have the authority to do that, they need to look into it.
Okay,
you're supposed to complete the road.
Yes.
Another thing that I've noticed too, that places transport board at a very great disadvantage, the same bypass. When that bypass is by some coming to Side Road, they have to turn left and go across Welch's, where the minibus goes straight. That can't be fair competition. Also, the Bearfield minibuses, I know I'm going to make a lot of enemies, but I don't care. They have advertised Bearfield. But when they get up there, they don't make the right turn to go into actual Bearfield. They don't.
Why?
Also, the St. Lawrence Castle bus, the transport board bus have to go through Fall Bay. The minibus goes straight. That can't be fair competition. And these are things that need to be revised. It's unfair.
Okay.
I know it's a shortened program, so there's a lot more related. Oh, by the way, I can't get laws to understand, you know. I can't get laws to understand.
The reading of them or the interpretation? Huh? The interpretation of them?
Sometimes everything about them now.
You're in the majority. Many people, that's why we need attorneys at law, barristers, lawyers.
But as Dennis rightly said yesterday, they are written in such a way that only the people writing can understand them.
The luminaries. I think
no.
so.
No. I come on this program. I say things that's true, but they can't be put on air because the station might get sued. Now, you is a manufacturer of a firearm. Let's say the name of his firearm is Lisa Dennis. That's just the manufacturer's name. Another person manufactures the bullet, Ellis Bullet. I own the gun. I own the bullet. I shoot somebody. Now, the manufacturer is going to get charged, you know. Not the man who made the bullet. It's me. So, therefore, if I come on the program and they say things that detriment anybody, I'm the one who should be charged, not VOB. It's unfair.
But then we have...
Sir, the law says that we allow it to be published. Yeah, that's the reason.
Right. There's culpability. Sorry. There's, you know, carrying it on further, etc.
Okay. So
anything else to add to this?
The only thing I would add is to keep within the ambit of the law then.
Okay. I agree. And people should ensure when they are speaking that they're speaking something that is true and accurate as well, so as to reduce the liability of the same station. But thanks for your call. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Today is actually the 12th of July and not the 13th. So all of you in Radio Land, my apologies. Today is the 12th of July, the day of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will and shall rejoice and be glad in it. We have another call on the air.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Gill. Just a couple of things here. Now let me remind Mr. Joseph. There was a meeting here last week, the CARICOM head, And I heard the two prime ministers, the prime minister of St. Lucia.
Was it Montego Bay, actually, not Barbados?
I mean, St. Jamaica, right. And I heard the two prime ministers, three actually, but I listed the two first and I go on to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
The prime minister of St. Lucia said right now it's not a priority of them to join the CCJ, but they have to look after their own.
To make it its appellate court. Remember, they're all members of the CCJ
yes,
already.
But what they're going to go, what
final
the Prime Minister said,
mm-hmm.
that right now is not a priority, and they have to look after the economic interests.
Yes,
the
I
Prime
heard
Minister
many said that, yes.
The Prime Minister of Jamaica said that they don't mind the CCJ, but it will be left up to the people, and they will have to have a whole referendum really. On it. Whether or not the Jamaican people want the government to join the CCJ.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is the Bahamian Prime Minister. He make it quite clear that the Bahamas will not be opening for Harry, Dick, and Tom. There are laws and rules and regulations concerning who you invite into your country.
Man, you were following, man. You have it accurate.
No, this is what is happening.
And this is not a new position, by the way. This is over 10 years. Bahamas has been saying this. Nearly 15 years now.
Yeah, I don't mind that. But Barbados, on the other hand, mm-hmm. is playing open gallery to the public. So I am going to ask you now, well, what is the role, or what role will Mr. David Commerson play as an advisor to CARICOM?
Wait,
you didn't ask me that last week,
and did I not
answer you? Yeah, but you didn't really fully answer. I fully didn't even understand what you were saying, so can you explain it to me?
So question for you, before we get on to Mr. Commerson, Ambassador Commerson, if I may. The three things that you use as a precursor to asking about Mr. Commerson's positioning, I'm trying to get you to explain to me what's the correlation.
Okay, let me step myself. We can't even get people come to board with one thing. What are we going to advise CARICOM on? That's all I'm trying to say.
So wait, question: did we not have an ambassador in the right in Mr. the person of Mr. Morris, who did a pretty good job for his tenure as well, to advance the interests of Barbados in CARICOM? A 15 state organization.
What do we get by it, though, Mister?
But we are members of. First of all, let me try to answer you two things. You've asked two questions. One, in terms of what Mister Commerson, and I think you're being a little facetious there.
I know, it's so.
I remember your comments last week, so that would also inform what I respond and say. As ambassador for CARICOM, I don't have his job description, but he will advise the government of Barbados on matters relative to whether it is to do with the single market, whether it is to do with fishing, all of the categories that you can possibly that fall under this, whether it's to do with our relations with the technical cooperation agreements, whatever that falls under CARICOM, that person would be there to advise and to give direction and guidance. So I don't think I don't think you need to ask that question next week for sure. I hope you don't.
No, I will not ask that next week because I know that's just to me, as far as I am concerned, that's just a dressing.
You're just jealous because it wasn't you. That's probably.
No, I don't be jealous.
I'm going to be deliberate here with my comments. I think you are being difficult. Who else would you have chosen, if I may ask you, from your party?
I was chosen nobody because I felt to be a total.
So you don't think we need to have? So question: Why do we have an ambassador in the UK and in all the other places that we have a mission? Did you question their relevance and
no,
the role that they played?
I did not.
So why CARICOM, the country that we have the largest trade surplus with, or the grouping that we have the largest trade surplus? You don't think that we should have an ambassador?
We were talking about fishing arrangements.
No, seriously.
I say no. That's my personal
You do not think
opinion.
We should have an ambassador?
I tell you, a total waste of time, in my opinion.
That's
the
all
other
right.
Thing, the other thing, Ms. Gay, I told you last year, I suggest you, when I was looking at it, I said around 5,000 people eventually have to go home one way or the other. And once you see that the public sector is sending more people, the public sector, the private sector, they're also said own people. So up to last night, I got the some information here. A guy sent me some information. Around 6,500 people will be going home from the public sector. And the other things that we thought that things would get a little bit better than Barbados, but apparently every day you go to the supermarket and the prices just keep going up and going up. For example, I bought an item here last fortnight. I paid $14.95 for this item. Now this item costs $25.04.
Whoa, you bought the large size, I hope. Not the
size. No, small size. And before I go, I draw another example to you.
Is the same product?
This is for the pharmacy now.
Oh, you bought it from somewhere else.
Yeah, this is my pharmacy.
And was that a convenience store as well?
No. I went to the pharmacy. I used to pay $89 for these pills for this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, it cost the sale gentleman $104.56. Mm-hmm. So he told me today, yesterday, that he will have to go back to his doctor. I tell his doctor he cannot afford to buy these tablets any longer.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked the doctor to give a prescription something much cheaper. Because really,
so prices are, you're making the point here then that prices are going up
real, real fast too.
Even despite the thing. Okay, I want to zoom in here on a comment that David made. Dennis made. I always call David Dennis and Dennis David. I hope that they don't squeeze my fingers. But the last caller yesterday called in and I heard him. He was pretty animated. He was angry and he talked about the existing smoke that was emanating from the landfill in the Lower Estate region, and somebody needs to do something about this and stuff. And our goodly Dennis took the opportunity and the time after work to go up there at 2:00, get permission from Mr. Sherry, and he visited the actual landfill himself. And it's a quarry, that's the best word, right? The quarry. He visited it himself. There was absolutely no smoke. There was no fire. And there was no smell. Now, that's a very serious scenario where we have a person who called the program animated, saying that they are suffering from this. And I think he said 6 weeks. I think he said as much as 6 weeks, this thing has been going on and going on. And now we have a moderator from Brass Tacks who visited the scene and was able to verify that a story is totally different from what reality, you know, from the reality was different from what the story was. I want to encourage our callers to be very careful. There could be a scenario where he might have a neighbor or he might have somebody who is doing some folly and smoking up the place on a consistent basis. And he thought it was, in fact, the quarry. And he blamed wrongfully the Anderson Cherry scenario. That could be a reality. But I also know that there are persons who have mal intent. And they call the program with information that they have not verified. They haven't checked, but they call in and they say, oh, I hear that this is going to happen. There are two callers thus far. One said he was dismissing it, and the other one just said he was talking to one of his friends that 6,000 people are going on. We haven't heard this from any particular minister. Or we haven't heard it. It may very well be true. Who says it isn't? But it is a rumor right now. And we know that there are going to be some shifting and some adjusting in the public service. But I would encourage people to kindly use information that they can corroborate. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Gill.
Morning, sir.
And I want you to forgive me if I call your last name as a first name because you got two first names, right?
That's all right. You called it correctly.
Okay. But sometimes, you know, last time I spoke to you, I made the mistake of calling the last name like as a first name.
Okay, that's all right.
Okay, the last time, before I move on to my first point is, I believe that the laws of Barbados could give Mr. P that right. If he want to be the one that is more responsible, you know, for defamation, the laws could give him that right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's all about freedom and democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and the next thing that I will have to say about a statement he made is that, yeah, you got to come back and apologize, Mr. P. There's so many people over the last 10 years, that would be idiots. So I think you will have to make an apology and probably some that hold high office in this country. Right, so let me move on to my next point. Last time we spoke, I just asked you a question, but I didn't stay to respond or anything. Mm-hmm. And this is about, I ask you if you would consider toilet pits to be unsanitary. And let me, before you answer, let me remind you that I know what unsanitary is, but I would not refer to toilet pits as unsanitary, because there were being issued through the welfare or the through the Ministry of Health to people back in the day, and there's some people that today, I believe, is still being given this type of service. And I will call this my, you know, some people take me for a raster. So I will say this is why some people take me for a raster, because I just keep it real. And you when we were talking about it, you refer to the stench. The reason why, and then you refer to, you talk about compost toilets, and somebody talk about there are being the same thing. If you have to put, and I wonder why my people is like this. I say my people meaning black people, because if you have to put white people in the same situation, you can see they start to do something creative, because these toilets can be converted into a more upgraded into something more, we would say, pleasant. The compost toilet, because the reason why you get the stench is because urine and the feces going to the same place. So once the feces remain moist, that's where you can get the stench. But they can be upgraded. And I'm not trying to stop people from developing. We're in a developed country, but we live in an artificial life because the water toilet is artificial. Because the natural way is to put your soil back into the earth. But I'm not knocking that. All I'm saying is that a government that can come into power at the worst crisis and can tell me that they are going to eradicate toilet pits, when after government couldn't do it and had the most money, is not seen to be acting responsible. And that is my view. And then they can tell me, someone sit here on the calling program and tell me, you can use the word unsanitary and tell me that it is not a political issue. It is a political issue. I said to Pori last week, the Barbers their parties do things to stay in power. If you want to help poor people, educate them, or give them a job and let them help themselves, it should be not handing out and you trying to do things for political purposes. And that's my point on that. I will move on if you ain't got nothing to say.
I'm listening to you intently.
Right. I will move on to another point, because I want something. I want to see changes since that we get a new government. They have a burst pipe at Marshfield and going to Six Rose. Mm-hmm. And they can see the water there become unsanitary, and they don't want to be passing through it and catching germs. So would you please fix that pipe at Marshfield, please? Right? Mm-hmm. And the last thing I would say to Starcom, I see you got a good thing doing streaming your news and so on, but can you do it like more professional, like how Barbados today are doing it? I mean, get it, let the announcer face the camera and do it more like the news instead of I watching the other side, you know? Okay. Just a little tip. All right, that's all I have to have for you for now.
Thank you so much, sir. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. Dr. Brass Stacks, good morning. You're on the air. Are you with me? This is Dr. Brass Stacks. Good morning. We'll go to another caller. Dr. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning to you, Ms. Gill.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
Well, thanks.
Okay. Ms. Gill, I want to speak to you on a few things this morning.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to go with first was I listened to the program yesterday, but then had the opportunity to call because I was on my way out to go on the road where the first caller had called, Mr. Johnson.
Okay.
And I listened to the back and forth conversation between the two individuals.
Okay.
And Dennis was spot on. I it was unfortunate that the caller didn't understand what Dennis was trying to say to him.
Okay.
Right, as it relates to the bill before Parliament on Tuesday, the I'm trying to remember the name on the order paper. I don't even have it in front of me. That the learned attorney general and led off the debate on. I don't remember the name of the bill. But Dennis made a profound statement that I hope that it has not gone.
And he asked a question too. Yes.
Yeah, over the heads of ordinary Barbadians. Because what the Attorney General was simply saying, and this is not in any way, shape, form, or fashion, man, seeking to derail anything that was said. Mm-hmm. But what the Attorney General, in all of his pronouncements, he said that while all of these things that are now about to be investigated went on, that there was no law in place that would seek to bring some of these individuals to justice.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, this is my words, but I'm paraphrasing based technically
yes,
what he was saying.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
So, the Attorney General will probably have other information that we don't have as it relates to going after these individuals. Yes, everybody wants these individuals sought after and some level of justice come about as a result of what transpired. But the truth is, and the reality is, that if there is nothing for you to bring charges against these individuals, then the most you can do is just keep a lot of noise. And I'm hoping that Barbadians do not become too overly excited. And then at the end of the day, what happens is that all that they were clamoring for and waiting for does not become a reality. We got to be careful. You got to listen to language. I keep telling people all the time, Lord, that words have meanings. You got to listen to language when people speak.
That's true.
Right? Instead of running off. Mm-hmm. Next thing I want, David, is the last caller. Second caller just now, who spoke about the eradication of the pit toilets in this country. Now, the Prime Minister has committed not only her cabinet, but the government and her administration to the eradication of some 4,500 pit toilets. If you cast your mind back, you will recall that National Housing had, there was a loan that the National Housing refused to tap into that was directly responsible for this.
Mm.
I don't know if you will recall. So when I hear the caller just now asking where the money is going to come from, or when NASA can get this due, or when NASA can get the next thing due, you recall that there were naysayers who said that the Prime Minister could not have increased the pension,
you're right, the non-contributory pension. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? They had a lot of naysayers say that. They also said that she couldn't have repealed the NFL, what she could replace it with. You know, all these things, right? But still, we've got people who will come and try to seek to confuse people with a lot of jargon. And the next thing I want to speak about, ma'am, is the caller before that one who spoke about the IMF. Ma'am, the members of the IMF are on the air, right? To the best of my knowledge, information, and belief, the IMF is still now in negotiations with the government as it relates to the repositioning the Barbados' economy, right?
Yes.
Not a single word from the Prime Minister or any of her cabinet colleagues that speak directly to any massive layoffs in this country. I don't understand why people would want to rejoice at this whole notion that is now in circulation by people who are up to mischief. To mislead people in this country that public servants, some 6,000 public servants can go home. And ma'am, if you recall, the Prime Minister, when she went to meet with Christine Lagarde some 2-3 weeks ago, when she was interviewed at the airport when she arrived, I don't think it was the airport. She had a press conference at government headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And she made the point to relax, we got this one. I'm saying, ma'am, that a Prime Minister will not come to the people of the country to tell them that she has something that she don't have.
Well, we've had politicians who've given us promises and they didn't deliver, so it isn't fair to suggest that people automatically believe the Prime Minister because the Prime Minister has said we got this. There's some people who, and naturally so, would feel as though that's coming from a politician and therefore I'm not going to believe it automatically.
But let us judge the Prime Minister, ma'am, based on what she would have done thus far. And in all fairness to the Prime Minister, she has been true to form and true to her word. So I'm saying that because this in law, there's something called antecedents, right?
I must ask you if you're studying law?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good stuff.
Right. there's something called antecedents.
Things that came that. Before.
Precisely the point, right?
Yes.
So therefore, if you're going to judge the Prime Minister, mm-hmm. we must, in all fairness, judge her on her antecedents. And there is nothing to suggest thus far mm-hmm. that she has misled anyone in this country as it relates to repositioning Barbados' economy. And I know that she has the guts, if she has the, that she will come in a press conference if this happens to be the case, and she will say what it is that her government intends to do and the direction in which her government intends to take Barbados. So I'm asking Barbados not to become confused and distracted by the naysayers and those individuals who continue all the time to just pursue mischief. It's foolish. It's foolishness, ma'am. It's foolishness. And so somebody come on a program this morning, and I recognize that when you start to challenge the same guy with the 6,000, find time you back in the corner, he ready to go. He's going on to a different topic. You know, I mean, let's be reasonable, let us be fair. If you don't have the facts and it is just rumor, just leave the rumor there until they can get some more information based on what's happening. And the IMF has not yet completed
Barbados hasn't completed the negotiations with the IMF.
With the IMF, thanks for correcting me. And that when those negotiations are finished, ma'am, the Prime Minister will come to the people of this country and will speak to the people of this country as it relates to what they intend to do going forward.
Yes.
Let us be calm. I know they got some people who are anxious because, you know, I mean, 30-11 is easy, you know. 30-11 is not easy. I know some people will, you know, have not yet gotten over the fact that there's 30-11, but, you know, the facts are what they are.
There wasn't any right? love in that, though, if I may. Huh? There wasn't any love in that.
I think it's more...
That was
more
vicious.
Of course. You know, and now, in closing, Mama must say, that I heard Miss Undecided. I haven't, she called Larry Mearsom 2 weekends ago.
Okay.
And she was complaining that she isn't feeling the crop over feeling. But, you know, I didn't get close to Larry to remind her that, you know, when you get a lot of blows, your skin becomes numb. So obviously you can't feel anything while your skin is being numb. So I will hope that.
The only thing I have for you though, last week I didn't get to ask you. I was being cheeky. But you made the comment that you have all the documentation and you have all these contracts. So where you get these things from though?
But Mom, will you expect me to disclose this on air?
No, I don't. But I'm deliberately putting you on air to tell you, be conscious of what you said, though. The person who shared it with you.
One thing I can tell you about Patrick King, right, is that I don't have the time for lies. Because...
No, this isn't about lies. No. This is about exposing the persons who share things with you in confidence. That's what that's about.
No. Mom, as a matter of fact, I will say this to you. Having possession of this information is to challenge the naysayers when they come to the forefront to talk the nonsense that they come and speak. That's why when the caller before the last spoke about he wanted the facts, and but Corey rightly defended me, even though he probably wasn't aware that he was doing so, by reminding the caller about the number of other individuals who held positions in this country for absorbing salaries.
But you're missing my point. I'm not worried about the reason why you have them. Mm-hmm. I'm more dealing with the mechanics of your possession. How did you get them? I'm not asking you to respond to that in public, but I'm saying we also have to be cognizant of the persons who share stuff with us in confidence. We don't want to expose them.
No, no, No. I'm not. It's one thing I do is protect those persons who confide in me. I don't do, and I've been doing it for the last 8 months when I've been doing my live videos on Facebook. I protect all those persons, ma'am. I don't get involved in that. I protect all of my persons who bring valuable information to me. I protect them. Right.
Okay.
So I just want the caller to know that if he wants to challenge me, I am willing, and I can put the information at his disposal, and I can do that because I've gotten the permission from those persons who would have given me the information. So
okay.
If he wants to challenge me, I am prepared to challenge him, and if you hear some prices of some consultancy fees ranging from $16,000 and $17,000 to $6,000 in this country. So when I hear this pronouncement about the who get work and questioning David Cummins-Young's work and Charles Young's contract, tell them don't start, because I can push them back with the information that I have. Tell them don't go there. It is not wise to do that. Tell them don't do it.